Tonight, it is a pleasure to get to know some of you before the service, and we hope that we'll get to know some of you after the service. I heard we're going to be going out to eat with some of the teenagers, so we're looking forward to that. Well, our first song talked about Jesus Christ coming and dying for our sins, and when he did that, we received the Holy Spirit if you trusted in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, it allows you the opportunity to be changed into his likeness and conformed to his image. Stuart's going to get us started in that thought in our next song, Masterpiece of Mercy.
He knew what I was when he made me. He saw the sinner I'd become. Yet he knew he had grace that could save me. His latest work of art had just begun. He started with an old dirty canvas. My sin left me tattered, bent, and worn. Then this artist turned his light upon my sadness and began to wash away the blackest part. When all the stains were gone, he started painting. with colors that I'd never seen before. Then with joy he was ready to display me, show the world what the cross was for. A masterpiece of mercy, a miracle of grace. When the master sees one hurting and wipes the pain away, the canvas of the artist becomes a holy place. For a masterpiece of mercy, a miracle of grace. Now I'm getting ready for heaven. Every day just makes me want to go. But the artist hasn't stopped, he's still painting. And when he's finished, he will take me home. A masterpiece of mercy, a miracle of grace. When the master sees one hurting and wipes the pain away, the canvas of the artist a holy place. For a masterpiece of mercy, a miracle of grace. The canvas of the artist becomes a holy place. For a masterpiece of mercy,
so thankful. I think we can all look back and see times that we've seen God's grace firsthand in our life. Before we go on with any more of the music that we have prepared, we're going to take just a second and introduce ourselves. We're going to tell you where we're from and what we're going to be involved with this next year over at Pensacola Christian College. So first we have Riley. He's our bass. He's from Avon, Indiana, and this next year he's going to be a senior studying music ministries. We have Alex. He's one of our guys that just graduated. So this next year, he's going to be pursuing his master's degree in Bible exposition, and he's from right outside Washington, D.C.
Thank you so much, Stuart. All the way over to my left, another one that just graduated is Owen Moss, and this next year, he's going to be pursuing a master's degree in graphic design, and he's from the Bahamas. Over here at the piano, we have Jeremiah Embrador. He was from Virginia Beach, but his parents just moved to Spain because they're military. They're in the Navy, so that's pretty cool. He's been able to live almost everywhere, so we make fun of him for that, but it's actually really cool. And then to my left, we have Stuart Willingham. He's from Pensacola, Florida, right down the street from Pensacola Christian College. And this next year, he's going to be a junior youth ministries major.
This next song I'm going to sing is an a cappella song, and we love singing an a cappella, so it's a fun one for us. But it still presents a good truth about God, and that is that no matter what situation we may find ourselves in, we'll always remain in His care.
I thank God I'm in His care,
in His care.
One day as I was walking,
walking
down the lonesome road, the Spirit spoke unto me and filled my heart with joy. One day as I was walking,
walking
down the lonesome road, crying, I thank God I'm in His care.
Let me tell you now,
once I'm in His care,
in my Savior's care,
in my Savior's care.
Let me tell you now,
once I'm in His care, in His care,
in His care.
King Jesus got His arms all around me, no evil thoughts can harm me, for I thank God I'm in His care,
in His care.
Oh, in the book was written
all the
promises of God.
He said that
He will not forsake me, and He will lift my load.
I give him praise and glory
for his
love beyond compare. Singing, I thank God I'm in his care.
Let me tell you now,
once I'm in his care,
in my Savior's care. Let me tell you now,
once I'm in his care, in his care,
in his care.
King Jesus got his arms all around me, no evil thoughts can harm me, for I thank God I'm in his care. Oh, once I'm in his care,
in my Savior's care.
Let
me tell you now,
once I'm in his care, in his care, in his care. King Jesus got his arms all around me, no evil thoughts can harm me, for I thank God I'm in his care, in his care. I thank God I'm in his care, in his care.
Well, like Alex mentioned, I am from the Bahamas. That's where I grew up. That's where I was born and raised. And just a little bit about myself and my testimony. I was saved at a young age, about 7 to 8 years old. And I remember being at a youth rally. And I heard a message on hell. And honestly, I mean, it terrified me. I was afraid. And I didn't want to go to hell. But I knew that I deserved hell because of my sin. And so that night, I went to my mom. And she led me to the Lord. And from then, I just kind of went through life. You know, I graduated high school really young. I was 16 years old when I graduated high school. So I was kind of not really sure about life. And I started to work. And I realized that it never occurred to me. You know, I never asked myself the question, what would God have for me to do with my life? And that's when I really started to pray and ask God, you know, what do you want for me? And that's, God led me to PCC. And being there, I experienced something that I honestly never experienced before. I began to grow in my walk with God. I was in an environment where my friends and the teachers encouraged me to ask God constantly, you know, what's my next step? What do you have for me? And just the direction that I learned from being at PCC was such a blessing in my life. And, you know, just looking back, it's when I was younger and when I graduated high school and when I didn't consider God's will for my life, I was honestly, I didn't enjoy life much at all. And looking back at that and now looking to where I am now, I mean, I'm having a blast. You know, I get to travel with these guys. Last summer we went out west, 14 different states. This summer we were in the New England area and I get to see all these different places, meet all these different people, and I couldn't have planned it better myself. It's only God. And I'm so happy that PCC has allowed me to have that direction in my life with the environment and with the people around me to follow God's will for my life.
Thank you so much, Owen. And just to share a little bit more about him that he didn't share right there, he told us, we were having testimony time one night, and he told us, guys, when I came to college, I only had $200. He said, but I knew that the Lord was leading me to Pensacola. And so he stepped out a step of faith, and he came to Pensacola, and an awesome truth prevailed there, is God will not guide where he will not provide. And our next song will talk about that. And some verses that always remind me of that, that will lead into this next song, are Isaiah 43. It says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine.
When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee.
And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior."
They were standing on the shoreline when the master gave the word to load the boat and sail across the sea.
Soon replied.
My fault. My name is Matt T. For those of you who do not know me yet, I was trying to turn my speaker up, but I think I was too close to that. So, Owen, could you get me for me? Number six. I appreciate that. That's my bad. But I'm from Alabama, okay? So we can excuse that. We mess up. It's all good. But I get the pleasure of leading these guys this summer. I got to lead Owen and Alex last summer. It's been a blessing to me. I actually graduated from the college 2 years ago with a pastoral ministries degree. And getting to do this for 2 years, as Owen said, it is a blessing. God will not guide where he will not provide. Now, that song, I hear this song every week, every day pretty much. You know, it's just funny how the word of God never does return void. Right. And that song just got to me right there, so I appreciate that, guys. I love these guys, them singing out their hearts, and also Jeremiah playing that piano. It's always a blessing to me, and I pray they've been a blessing to y'all. I want to share a quick verse with y'all. Y'all probably know it. It's in Colossians 3. The Bible says that we should be teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that verse has always been very real to me. Now, music is a very powerful tool. We see it in the Bible being used, like by King Saul saying, David, come calm my soul, come play your harp. The world today, it looks to music a lot to really calm themselves. And in high school, which I'll talk about this here in a little bit, I kind of strayed away from the Lord a little bit, started listening to worldly music. That's why I always say how good godly music is a very powerful tool, but so is the world's music. It can be used. And it got in my heart, and it came out through my actions, and my mom saw this. And she said, Matt, I want to challenge you with something. I want you to listen to Christian music for 2 straight weeks. I was like, yes, ma'am. You know, you got to keep mom happy at all times, at all costs. So I was like, yes, ma'am. I'm a mama's boy. For sure. You got it. And looking back, that's when the Lord started getting a hold of my heart and bringing me back to him. And I praise the Lord for that. That's why I love hearing these guys sing out. Traveling throughout these semesters, I'm by myself. I go to schools, go to my hotel, and that's it. I love the summers, getting to hear them sing. I'm getting to worship with y'all together. So I say that because we want to be a blessing to y'all through our music. But we don't want to just be a blessing and then head out. We do want to leave a little part of us behind if we're able to. So back in the foyer there, there's going to be a table out there. Alex will be back there, the other one with the beard, so it's kind of easy to notice there. He's going to have a few CDs available for you. There's four available. You can buy one for $15, two for $20, three for $30, or 100 for $1,000. You know, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. You never know. You never know. Alex is pretty good at that. And I told my guys this, like, you say that every time. I was like, well, it's the first time they hear it. So that's why they laugh. So I think they're just jealous of how funny I am. That's all it is. No, I'm just kidding. The guys are going to come up and sing a few more songs here in just a second. But I do want to share a quick word about the college. And these guys will agree with this. This is how the other reps were taught as well. We do not believe that PCC is the only possible college you can go to, especially Christian college. Okay, there's a lot of Christian colleges out there. I'm a big advocate for that. I've seen all the different sides of education. My heart's just with the Christian side of it. I think it's much needed. And I really enjoyed it there. But what I really stress to young people, and if young person here today, and you said, I don't know what God has for me, hey, just keep looking. God's will is the best place possible for you. If that's PCC, hey, that's fantastic. I went there too. But if not, if you're in the will of God, our prayers have been answered, okay? If you want some more information, though, we will be back there. They are pros, okay? They have all the information. And if not, they'll come to me. And if not, I'll just direct you to the internet or something like that, hopefully, so we get the right answer. But these guys are going to come up and sing a few more songs. And these are a few of my favorites, actually. One Day When the Lord's Going to Come Back. I love them hearing them sing about that song. And that demonstrated his awesome love for us. And that all the times we can always turn around and see how good our God's been to us.
Praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glory. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. One day the grave could conceal him no longer, one day the stone rolled away from the door, then he arose over death he had conquered, now is ascended my Lord evermore. Saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever, one day he's coming. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever, one day he's coming. Oh, trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever.
That song, and I love it because it tells the whole story. It tells the story of Jesus coming to earth and living a perfect life and then dying on the cross for our sins and then promising to come again and receive us for himself. And as he did that, as that story unfolded, he demonstrated his perfect love. It's an awesome love, isn't it? It's a love that defies all logic, and I think most of all, a love that is undeserved by us. This next song presents the greatest mystery of all, our Savior's love for you and for me.
Songs in the program, you've been able to gain just an understanding of who God is, his awesome love for us, and we hope that whenever you're going through something and you feel like you're exactly where God has led you, but then you face something difficult, we pray that you'll be able to look back and see just how faithful God has been to us.
Slow, don't lose faith down here below.
often miss the mark. To do mighty things is your heart's greatest dream. Can the tarnished gifts you bring be of service to the King, the King of Kings? Turn around and see. Look what God has done. The victories he has fought.
Though there are many miles to go,
and the journey seems so slow, don't lose faith down here below. Turn around and see. Look what God has done, redeeming every scar to the image of his Son. Don't lose faith down here below.
Just turn around and see.
Turn around and see.
Turn around and see.
Turn around and see. Just turn around and see.
There we go. That's nice. I did it right this time. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, we'll go very quickly to 2 Chronicles 14. Pastor, we do want to thank you for letting us come out this evening. I felt like you were down from south because you said evening and going, and I was like, hey, sounds like home, so I like that. Oh, wait, I got to try this real quick. Nope, still don't work. Nope, don't like that. I'll stay exactly where I'm at. I'll probably fall off, and that won't look too good. But we'll be in 2 Chronicles tonight. Talking about a story that I really didn't really hear much of growing up. And when I first heard it, it really spoke to me because I've kind of lived like this as well. And back in Bible college, we have an Old Testament survey class, and you had to learn every single king of Israel. There's a lot of them. And you had to learn a fact that went along with each one. So I was like, okay, I have a pretty good memory. Like anything sports, like I can tell you. Like I can tell you stats, names, all of that. Especially with Alabama's 17 national championships. But either way, I know college football is probably not that big up here. We're all about Patriots. Stuart's actually a Patriots fan, so I'm a Falcons fan, so I'm still hurting over that Super Bowl. But either way, we won't talk about that. But you know how it's funny how these names, they go along with something, especially with sports. If you hear a certain sport name, if you hear Michael Jordan, you probably think of the second greatest player of all time behind LeBron James. I'm just kidding. Either way. You think of names and they go along with something. So I tried to apply that to my test. The thing was, I didn't start studying until the night before, so that probably wasn't the best thing for me. But I did get a couple right. A couple that, a few that stood out to me. Now, King David, if I didn't get that, that might disqualify me from ministry. So I got King David. That was an easy one. And then I looked at King Asa. And King Asa is what we're going to talk about tonight. He's got a pretty cool story. And in chapter 14, we see Asa coming in. He's the third king to come in, but he's the first king to say, hey, we're going to serve God. It says in verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He says in verse 4, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Now, I'm not in charge like that. I'm not a king, but I'm pretty positive. That's a pretty good first step to take. We're going to serve God, put the false gods away. God is our one true God. Let's praise Asa for that. I like his testimony there. And the Lord blesses him with an army, it says in verse 8, of 580,000 people. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good army. I mean, 580,000, that's pretty good. Then we come to verse 9. He says, and then there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,300 chariots. And they came unto Mareshah. 1,000,000 there stands for 1,000,000. So we have 1,300,000 people against 580,000 people. Asa's back is against the wall. Hey, many of us have probably been there. I've been there all my life, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But Asa, he's out number 2-1. I'm sure some of his men are like, how are we going to do this? Well, I love what Asa does in verse 10. It says, then Asa went out against him. And they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephthah at Mareshah, and cried, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God. Hey, he didn't say, oh no, I don't think we should do this. He said, no, we're going. Because we have the Lord God on our side. Right. And he cries unto him and says, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. But help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, and let not man prevail against thee. And the Lord in verse 12 smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa's testimony is pretty cool right here. I mean, he started off on fire. He said, we're serving God. Put the false gods away. Hey, okay, we're out number 2-1. We got God on our side. We're going. Amen. And I admire that. Because so many times in my life, and you might be guilty of this as well, a big trial comes in my life. I feel like I'm out number 2-1 against the world, and I'm hesitant in my faith. But Asa says, hey, we're going. He cried unto the Lord God, and I'm thankful for the Lord that does hear our cry. Amen. And he helped him. I love this story. I love that. Chapter 15, we still see Asa serving God. He starts taking the false gods and putting them away. In fact, he makes a covenant with his people, saying, if you don't serve God, in verse 12 and 13, actually, I'll just say it. Or excuse me. Did I get that right? Yeah, 12 and 13 says, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. That's a pretty serious covenant there. And I'm guilty of not serving God every single day. I'm glad this is not, because I would not be here if this was still the covenant. And I'm guilty of that. I'm ashamed of that. But Asa says, hey, we're serious about our faith. And in fact, he's so serious that he removes his mom from being queen. I love my mama. I am a mama's boy. I told that before, and I always will be. I love my mom. But it says in verse 16, it says, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, that he removed her from being queen. Why? Well, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Asa says, hey, mom, I'm sorry, but we're serving God in this country. You're no longer going to be queen. Now, that'd be a hard thing to do, especially to a mom who raised him. But he stood up for what was right, no matter the cost. And in verse 18, the Bible says this, and he brought into the house of the God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. So, cool, he's given to the Lord. And in verse 19, it says, there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. That's a great story. But unfortunately, that's not where the story ends. Asa here, he's starting off strong. I mean, he's headlining. If you end right there, if you open the newspaper's headline, Asa defeats a million-man army. That should be what he's known for. But unfortunately, on that test, and some other guys, I think Alex had to take this test. I don't know if they even still do all the kings of Israel anymore. I'm a little jealous of that. But I looked down, I'd find Asa's name, and I looked to the right side and looked for died of a foot disease. Right. You say, what? Why is the fact not defeated a million-man army? I mean, who else did that? But unfortunately, the right answer was died of a foot disease, and we see in chapter 16 how it came to be. See, Asa in chapters 14 and 15, his eyes are set on God. He says, we're going to serve God. Our focus is only on him. But from chapter 15 to chapter 16, we fast forward a few years. Actually, several years down the road. And I'm not one to add to or take away from Scripture. But I feel like a lot of things could have happened in these 30 years that we don't know about. Asa could have been praised left and right. Wow, Asa, you defeated a million-man army. That's pretty cool. You know, a lot of times we can get big-headed that way and arrogant. Man, you led 10 souls to the Lord this week. Hey, I did, didn't I? You know, you keep hearing it. You keep hearing it. While we should be deflecting that praise back to God because we're nothing without him, we could be starting getting that in our heart and starting, maybe I can do this life on my own. Hey, look at this job I just got. Look at you, Matt. You got to be a representative of PCC. That's pretty cool. And by the way, I don't take credit for that. It's all because of the Lord, and we'll understand that in just a second. But you know, a lot of times when we're told this left and right, if I keep praising my guys, you know, sometimes we might have our human nature, our sinful nature, to say, wow, yeah, look at us. I'm not saying that's what happened with Asa. I don't know. It's only speculation. I'm not going to add to it or take away from it. But in chapter 16, we find a different Asa than we found in chapter 14 and 15. It says, in the 6th and 30th year, in chapter verse 1, of the reign of Asa, we find Baasha, king of Israel. So Asa is the king of Judah. Baasha is the king of Israel. It's like separated here. Baasha came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So he built a blockade of sorts where nothing could go in or out, and he was going to weaken Asa's kingdom. He's going to keep weakening them and keep weakening them and then wipe them out. And a lot of times, this is funny, this is how kind of how the devil works in our life. He starts off small. Hey, you don't have to go to church today. Why? It's just one Sunday morning. Hey, it's just one Thursday night. It's only one midweek service. Hey, you don't. It's okay. You didn't read your Bible today. It's okay. It's fine. And we start believing these lies. We're going through a book called Lies Men Believe, and the truth that sets them free, which is the Lord. I love that. But how it's like how the devil just keeps pecking away at us, saying, "You know what? You don't have to do this." And I've looked back and seen it add up, and then he just take over. I lose sight of who I'm supposed to be serving, which is God, and I start serving myself. And we find in verse 1 of chapter 16, it's starting to begin in Asa's life as well. But Asa's built this blockade of sorts, and he comes to he's weakening Asa's kingdom. And we find in verse 2, okay, Asa's back's against the wall again. He's facing another military here. He's facing another captain, I guess you could say, of threatening his people. So what does he do this time? Well, in verse 2, he says, "Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house." You know what's funny? In chapter 15, we read in verse 18 of chapter 15, he says, "And he brought into the house of God things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels." The very next chapter, we find him taken away from God, the things that he had dedicated to the Lord. Very sad thing. Very sad testimony. It says, "And he sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus. He's saying, 'There's a league between me and thee, and as there was between me and my father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me.'" So Ben-Hadad here, he's the next last character to come into this story. And Ben-Hadad's friends with Baasha and Asa. So it's like a triangle of sorts with no, I guess like a V. I'm not a triangle. But there we go. And Ben-Hadad's the common denominator in it. And Asa's like, "Here, take this silver and gold. Forget your friendship with Baasha. And come help him. Come help me, and we'll defeat him." So he takes away from the Lord what he had given him in the first place and gives it to a man to come help him. And Ben-Hadad's like, "You know what? Okay. Hey, money's a very powerful thing." And Ben-Hadad's like, "Yeah, I got you. Forget Baasha." And they went and defeated him, and Baasha backed off. Now, Asa saved his people again, but he did it in the totally wrong way. Chapter 14, he did it the right way. He gave it to the Lord. His eyes were set on God. But now in chapter 16, several years down the road, his eyes are on himself a little bit. You know, if Asa were here today, I'm pretty sure he would say, "Guys, don't make the same mistakes that I did." Because he was a headliner in the Bible. I mean, he defeated a million-man army, and now, no pun intended, he's just a footnote in history. Really, that's what he is. He died of a foot disease. And we'll see that in a second. You know, a lot of times, I've really related to this story. I heard it the first time a few years ago, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Matt, this is what you did." I grew up as a pastor's kid. I got saved at the age of 6 by the grace of God, and I was going to church. I mean, there's a bulldozer out there. I live closer to my church than that out there, or I don't even know if it's a bulldozer. I'm not good with that kind of stuff. Maybe a backhoe, I don't know. But either way, I always was at church, playing basketball. I was always with my dad in the office. My dad was pastor for 20 years. I saw the Lord grow my church. And we were serving God. I was like, "Wow, God, this is awesome." Hey, like Asa defeating a million-man army. Hey, we're headliners right now. We're serving God. We're on fire for God. And then right before I turned 10 years old, the devil started intervening in my dad's life. And unfortunately, long story short, my dad lost the church he was at for 20 years, where I'm still at today, by the way. And that's a cool story. And then my parents got a divorce just a few months later. I was like, wait a second. We're serving God. We're doing everything that he's asked us to do. And now the Lord decides to take my family away. At least that's what I thought as a kid. But over the next few years, I still serve God. I was faithful to him. And we see in chapter 15, Asa staying faithful to the Lord as well. But then we fast forward 30 years, and Asa's gotten his sight off of God, not himself. And that's exactly what I did in high school. I started saying, "God, my friends who have their family together, why don't I have mine together? I'm trying to serve you. They don't love you, but you're blessing them. God, why are bad things happening to good people, and why the good things are happening to the bad people? God, what are you doing? God, why?" And I lost sight of God. I lost sight of his goodness in my life, and I started doing things on my own. I wasn't a terrible kid at all in high school. Well, we're all terrible, I guess, and they always remind me of that. Like, "Matt, we're all sinners." And I get that. But I definitely wasn't living as a Christian should. And I was making influences on my friends that were going against God rather than for God, and I regret that. And I was exactly where Asa was in chapter 16. I started doing life on my own. And if you go back to my high school, they say, "Matt, hey, what do you think of Matt Teague?" And I guarantee you, right when they pop in their head and they hear that name, "Oh, he was probably just a selfish punk that only cared about basketball and himself." That's the legacy that I've left behind to my friends back at Briceville. But if you go to Pensacola, And the Lord got a hold of my life after I graduated, and I thank the Lord for that. My mom continued to pray for me. My dad, he got right with the Lord. He's closer to God now than ever has been. He never stopped praying for me. And I say that because if you have a loved one, I don't know if it's a cousin, a spouse, a daughter, a son, if they're away from the Lord, never stop praying for them. Never stop. I'm here today by the prayers from my family and my friends. And I look back and say, well, my legacy of Pensacola hopefully is one that, hey, I like to goof off, I like to have fun, play video games, watch sports, okay. But ultimately, I want to serve God with my life. That's a legacy that I want to leave behind. But I made three mistakes in high school. And Asa made these exact same three mistakes that cost him his legacy. And if he was here for today, he would say, hey, don't lose sight of God. Don't make these mistakes that I have fallen into. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your focus on God. And we see in verse 7 of chapter 16, these three mistakes. These three traps, so to say. It says, and at that time, Hanani the seer, he comes to rebuke Asa for his sin. He says, he came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. And very quickly we'll go through these. The first trap, the first mistake that Asa fell into is that he put his faith in man and not God. Right. We see in chapter 14, hey God, we cry unto you, and in thy name we go out against this multitude. He says, there's nothing of us, it's all of you. But when we see in chapter 16, he's doing everything on his own. Hey, King Ben-Hadad, come help us. Never once did it mention that Asa cried unto the Lord his God again. At least it's not in my Bible. And Asa, he's doing everything on his own. And when you're doing things on your own, when you're doing things your way and not God's way. You know what? I'm about sick of this thing. Is this on? Go ahead. I appreciate it. I can hear it and I know it's bothering y'all, so it's because it's bothering me. But when we put our faith in man and not God, we're missing out on so many blessings and opportunities the Lord has for us. Now, see, so in verse 7, it says this at the very end, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Hanani saying, Asa, if you'd have done it God's way, he was going to give you the land of Syria as well. He wanted to give you these blessings. Dr. Jim Shetler, I love him. A great speaker of the word, great man of God. He once said at the Wilds, was the Wilds New England's right down the road. My sister's working there this summer, so I wish I could have seen her tonight, but I love the Wilds. I love Brother Shetler. And he said, our God, he's rich in blessings. He's full of them. And he loves us so much that he wants to give them to us. But we have to have a heart that's pure towards him. And in no way am I preaching prosperity gospel, but the Lord does want to take care of us. He will not guide where he will not provide. Right. And we see that in verse 9. I love this verse. He says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Asa's heart was not perfect toward God. He was doing things on his own and not on God's strength. We see in Psalm 73, Asa trying to do his whole life on his own. And the last part, he's saying, God, my flesh, my heart, it faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. He's my portion forever. And Asa lost sight of that. And he started beginning to put his faith in man and not God. And I did that myself. And we see the second trap in verse 8. The second mistake, excuse me, he says, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. First, we see Asa putting his faith in man and not God. And then secondly, we see him being forgetful of his past victories. Now, in no way should we live in the past and look, okay, well, I did that, so I'm good. Right. But he forgot where God had brought him from. Yeah. If I ever lose sight of how God delivered my family through my parents' divorce, how foolish am I? I didn't get through that because of me. Only God helped me through that. That was a tough, tough time. If you've lost a loved one, I know some of my guys have. If you've ever been through a health problem, my pastor going through cancer in late 40s. That's a tough time. But if we ever lose sight of how the Lord's delivered us through these tough times, right, how are we going to think to like rely upon his power? That's why I love my pastor, Dr. Lewis. He always tells us to journal or diary, whatever the case is. Write what God's doing in your life. When you're reading in the Word of God, say, hey, this is what God's taught me today. Hey, I answered a prayer. He answered a prayer today. He delivered me from this sin. And then 5 years from now, we can look back and say, God, wow, look what you did then. If you have the power to do it then, you have the power to do it now. Yeah. Because in our sinful flesh, we have the ability to lose sight of what God has done for us. And may we not lose sight of that. He says, what are you doing? We're not the Ethiopians. That was a huge problem with you. But yet they relied on the Lord and he delivered them into thine hand. And yet you couldn't rely on the Lord for this? It's not like we only rely upon the Lord for the big things. And we don't want to rely on him for the smallest things in life. Hey, you got me through that, but I can do this one on my own. That's not what the God says to do. He says, rely upon me for everything. Lean on me. I love that. Lean on the everlasting arms. He's everlasting, he's eternal, and he's there for us. He's mutable. He's not going to change. The God then is still the God now, and he always will be. But Asa lost sight of that. He began to put his faith in man and not God. He was forgetful of his past victories. And then lastly, we found in verse 10, probably the worst one, is that he fought godly correction. It says, then Asa, instead of saying, you know what, you're right, he says, was wroth with the seer, very angry. And he put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. What a sad, sad testimony for a man of God. Hey, we're serving God 35 years later. How dare you tell me when I'm wrong? Go to jail. Doesn't seem right to me. And you know what this verse really shows me is that our decisions are affecting every single person around us. It affected his leadership. If I go off on my guys one day, which I don't know, hopefully I'll never happen. But if I go off on them and just yell at them for no reason, that's going to affect the way they look at me the rest of the summer, maybe the rest of my life. Our decisions are affecting everybody around us. And when I was in basketball back in high school, I thought I knew more than my coach, which whether if I did or not, that wasn't right because he's my authority. And when he got on to me in practice, he would tell me, Teague, why are you doing this? Why are you in help side, not deny? Why are you running this play, not this play? You're supposed to be on the left wing, not the right. Whatever the case was, I hated it when my coach tried to get on to me because I had pride in my life. I said, Coach, don't talk to me. Whatever. I was like, whatever. Yeah, I can do my own thing. But that decision, that didn't affect me. That affected my team because we're all working together. And Asa here, it says he oppressed some of the people at the same time. It's all because of pride. Pride cost him his legacy. You know what's very sad? We'll read in verse 12 and you'll see. It says, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign. So this is 3 years after the encounter with Baasha. It says, was diseased in his feet. There's the disease. Until his disease was exceeding great. And yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. He continued to put his faith in man and not God. He continued to be forgetful of where the Lord had brought him from. And he continued to fight godly correction until the Lord took him home. He died of a foot disease. And Asa slept with his father, verse 13, and died in the 140th year of his reign. So he got diseased the 39th year. So 2 years. Yeah. The Lord kept giving him chance after chance. Come back to me. Come back to me. And he never did. How many chances have we gotten in our lives? I can look back and say I've gotten too many to count. But I'm thankful for the Lord's faithfulness back to me. Yeah. How I can always turn around and see how good my God has been to me. Amen. Even though I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be here today. But it's all by the grace of God. You know what's cool about this story? I mean, it's all about pride in Asa's life. But it's kind of a mirror of King David. King David, you know, we know the story. He was a shepherd boy, a faithful man. I mean, that was the king. He was anointed king. He knew it. He stayed true to God, and the Lord brought him into the kingship there. And I don't know why, but he got into some sin. Committed adultery with Bathsheba, committed murder. And those are some pretty, I mean, all sins equal in the Lord's eyes. I know that, but that's a pretty big thing to do, okay? But what is David's legacy known as? A man after God's own heart. Asa is known for dying of a foot disease. And the mirror part here is the prophet Nathan comes to rebuke David for his sin, saying, David, all this stuff, and he does like a mirror kind of image there, and David gets all mad, saying, who was this? That was wrong. That's terrible. And Nathan goes, well, thou art the man. I don't see David throwing Nathan in prison. I see David sitting down and penning Psalm 51. God created me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore the joy of my salvation unto me. And David's legacy is one that we're always known as a man after God's own heart. Hey, yeah, he messed up, but that's encouraging because we all mess up. I was reading in the book today, he said that the church is known for being hypocrites. And I was like, well, the good news is there's always room for one more. We're sinners. Hey, and I read that. We were in Starbucks today. And I was like, how true is that? That's how some people are like, I'm not going to go to court. They're full of hypocrites. A church, I'm like, well, yeah, I am. I need to learn. I need to know more about my God. I need to seek after him. I need to have a humble heart. David was filled with humility. Asa was filled with pride. There's two legacies there. One kept his eyes on God, and one kept his eyes on himself. You know, if we're going to keep our eyes on God, we're going to keep our sight, our focus on the Lord, if we're going to be known for something we're very proud of as a whole, as this church, we look back 20 years from now and say, wow, look how God has worked these last 25 years. We can already do it for the last 5 years since y'all planted this church. I mean, look at this. This is a beautiful building, and I heard debt-free. That's incredible. We're in New Hampshire. This feels like a southern church to me, okay? I'm telling you what. God's working here. I heard our God was saving souls. He's still saving souls. May this church be known for that. Hey, God's working there. When people drive by, what's going on there? Something about God. I don't know. We want to go check it out. Amen. We don't want to be like the churches in Revelation. They're not there anymore. They left their first love. May we have a legacy like King David. to ourselves and as a whole, not like King Asa. And I love Pastor Pirate going up, and I went with this. I'll pray and turn over to you, Pastor. King Collier, he's actually where I'm from in Alabama, and he works at the Wilds, but he was on a Pastor Pirate CD tape back in the day. I listened to the tape. But he said, there's two choices on the shelf, choosing God or choosing self. And I know it's a kind of like a cliche, and because it rhymes, it's cool, I guess. But how powerful that is. If we get up every morning and we realize, hey, there's two choices, me or my Savior.
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty simple, because that's literally the decision every single day. If we choose ourselves, we'll be known like Asa. He sought to the physicians, not to the master physician. He always went to the man and not God at the end. Hey, he started off strong, but he fizzled out. Hey, you might have already fizzled out, but there's never an end to getting that right.
Right.
And I probably said that totally wrong, but I meant there's always enough time to get it right. There we go. My bad. But if we choose God, we choose our Savior, King David. Hey, he got into his sin, but he said, there's two choices on my shelf. I'm choosing God. I'm done choosing myself. And may we be known as a church, a young man, a young lady, after God's own heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for allowing me to be here up in New Hampshire. Lord, I never thought I'd be in the New England states. Lord, you saw that your plan was perfect for me, and I praise the Lord for that. And I praise you for this church and pastor with this heart. I know these people are in good hands. Lord, you've blessed them in a great way. I pray that you continue to use this ministry to see souls saved. Lord, to bring loved ones back to you. We keep our eyes and focus on you through all that we do. May we not be like Asa and get our so pride in our life that we don't get things settled and get things right with you. May we be like David, have a spirit of humility, and say, God, there's two choices every single day, and I'm going to choose you. I choose you. I choose you. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace in our lives, what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. Lord, we love you so much. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Why don't we keep our heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. I'm going to have him come back to the piano and just play softly. You can use the altar here, use the seat where you're at, but I just wonder if, and I know he is, Lord speaking to hearts, and maybe there's just some areas in our lives that we've just gotten our eyes off Jesus. Maybe we're looking to ourselves. Maybe we're looking to others. We're just not looking to the Lord. Lord, use that verse. Brother Matt didn't know it several years ago. Verse number 16 at the end of that verse where the preacher said to Asa, said, herein thou hast done foolishly. I don't want to be one that lives a foolish life because I'm more dependent upon man than I am upon God. And if you need to find your place here at the altar, do some business with the Lord, I want to give you that opportunity, that privilege to do so. Never take it for granted when God's speaking to your heart to be able to get some things right. Maybe our faith is just waning a little bit. Maybe you're coming to the end of your life and you're saying, I'll just coast in from here. I don't believe that's how God wants us to finish out. Faithful till the end. Faithful to the end. He's going to play this chorus here, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Father, we sure do love you tonight. Thank you so much for the message. Lord, thank you for the singing. Lord, how it spoke to our hearts. Lord, may it be a constant reminder. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Lord, you do provide. Lord, you honor faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us in our hearts and our lives committed to you, Lord, that we'll just commit, reassure to ourselves and to you, Lord, we're just going to be found faithful. Lord, I ask you to do that through us that we can't do ourselves. We thank you for it. Thank you for the Word of God being open tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be here tonight. not even sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Can I say this? You can't be concerned about finishing right if you haven't even started right. And I'm so thankful we have a life worth living. Amen. God used that passage of Scripture several years ago in my personal heart and life. And I want to be that one, and I have it written in my Bible. I want to be that one where it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of him whose heart is perfect towards him. I want to be that one that God just stops right there and says, I'm just going to show myself strong. Can you imagine what that is? I mean, the results of God showing himself strong. God shows himself real and strong. Boy, that's going to be awesome. Brother Don, do you mind grabbing some of those prayer requests or prayer sheets with Peter? We want to just make sure to be able to get those handed out. We are going to be taking an offering in a few minutes and be able to give to Pensacola and to be able to help out with their expenses. And so you can be planning and preparing for that. And I might actually have them sing for their own offering. Is that okay? They can get one together. And praise the Lord. Y'all enjoyed them singing tonight? Isn't that a blessing? And sometimes you never know. I will say this, and I'm thankful that I love the men's quartet. I love the ensembles. And one year I heard just an instrumental group. It was a string group and everything. I'm thankful for singing. And so were some of you on that?
No,
okay. Okay, funny story. We'll save that for later. But I'm so thankful. You have the prayer request sheet there. I'm going to let you take those with you. Let me make these couple of announcements. But Miss Courtney was able to give birth this morning. What time was it? I think about 5:55 or something like that. And I know all the ladies will want this. 8 pounds, 7 ounces, 21 inches long. Linen olive. Lennon, L-E-N-N-O-N, Lennon Olive. And so thankful everything is well, and except for Peter. Brother Bunnell asked this morning, where's the pastor in training? I said, oh, he's getting training. I said, he's learning ministry right now because he's taking care of them two kids while a church member's in the hospital taking care. And so, and anyway, but so continue to pray for Brother Jordan and Miss Courtney, and she'll probably be in the hospital, I believe, till Saturday. They want the baby there 48 hours, and then they'll probably send her home on Saturday. She's hoping to be here in church on Sunday, and just seeing how she is, but just thankful. They got to the hospital about 7 o'clock last night, and so we're so thankful. I know they send their greetings and their appreciation for the prayer time. Amen. If we can still grab them offering plates back there, Peter. And Nate, do you mind jumping up? They're over here in the corner. And we need a good offering. We'll see. If they sing for their own offering, it'll be up to them. So, small world, how it is Brother Matt, he knew the church we were out of down in Tennessee, because one of the families we were in ministry with down there, Brother Josh Grubbs, was actually the assistant pastor at his church down in Alabama. And they just left that church on good terms and took a church up in Jamestown, Tennessee. Actually, just moved up there in the past 2 weeks. And so we're so thankful for that. And the dad of that assistant pastor is the one we were with up in Maine on Sunday, Brother Steve Grubbs. And so we're so thankful for all of that. Amen. All right, men, if you can come forward, and we'll take up a love offering to be able to help out for Pensacola. And the men are going to come. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then they can take up the offering. They'll sing. If you want to sing a couple while you're up here, if you still have that many, that you pray on it, okay, during that time. And so let's have a word of prayer. They'll take up the offering. They'll sing a couple songs. So is it okay if they sing a couple more? You guys are okay with that? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, just thank you for what you've done in our hearts and our lives tonight. Lord, I thank you for these young men, and I do pray, Lord, that you would find them faithful every day this side of heaven. And Lord, that they'd sell out to the cause of Christ. Use them in a great way. Keep them humble. And Lord, keep them teachable. And Lord, may they honor and glorify you. Thank you for allowing us to be able to have a small part in their lives and in the ministry, and Lord, that you'd use them in a great way. Thank you for your love to us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Faith, and we keep on fighting the fight, and that reason is that there is coming a day that our faith will be made sight. We'll see Jesus, we'll be with him. This next song is titled "That There Is Coming a Day," and it's talking all about that day.
Saints of the ages will gather to worship.